Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome again to Light of the World, Christian Tabernacle International Noonday Bible Study. We are so glad that you have tuned in, that you are in the building, amen, to study the Word of God. And we thank God for His mercy and His grace for one more day that we can share His Word, you can understand His Word, and we can feel His presence as He visits with us. Amen. We thank God for you, and especially you being here today. We know that you're going to hear something that is going to bless you. Amen. In the name of Jesus. So we thank God for everything He's doing, what He's about to do with us and through us. Amen. And God is so good. He spared us another day. Give us life, health, and strength, use and activity of our limbs, and give us an opportunity to come out and share with Him today. And we are so grateful for our leaders, Archbishop B.W. Smith, our co-founder, our senior pastor, Bishop Kevin J. Jones, and all of the saints of God of Light of the World, and thank God for those who are around the world. We love God for what He's doing. Amen. And we are in a period where we are trusting the transition. Amen, because the only thing that's constant is change. The only thing that would always continue to be is change. We thank God that we are moving in the vein of God, because anything that stays still will die. Even our bodies, if we move, if we don't move our limbs, we will shift to God. Amen. So we are thanking God today that we are moving in the vein of God, and we pray for our leaders that God will continue to bless them and encourage them and keep them in His will. And today we are so grateful for an opportunity, amen, that we can share the Word of God with the people of God today. And so we're going to open up the Word today in prayer. I'm going to ask Pastor Ann Butterfield, please, to open in prayer at this time.
Bless you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
You are awesome. Hallelujah. That you are our peace.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. You are our joy. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Magnify you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
You are worthy, God.
Thank you, Lord.
With all the praise and all the honor.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Your Son, God, that died on the cross,
yes,
for our sins, that we might live again. We
thank you, Lord.
Lord God.
Thank you.
We bless you. We honor you, Lord. Hallelujah. For just being God, Almighty.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord God, for each and every person that is here, Lord. And those, oh God, that is on their way, and those that is on the line, Lord, we thank you, Lord God. We bless you, Lord God, for those lives right now in the name of Jesus. So, God, we come today, Lord, to study, to show ourselves approved unto you, Lord. Workmen that need not be ashamed, but able to rightly divide the word of truth. We thank you, Lord God, for the taught word today, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Give us a heart to receive, ears to hear, heart to receive the word as it comes forth on today. We thank you, Lord God, hallelujah, that you will answer some of our questions, God. That you will answer some of our questions, God. We thank you right now, Lord God. We bless you right now, God, and we thank you, Lord God, for the light of the world, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, for this timing that we have, Lord God, to share your word. So, God, we thank you, Lord. God, we give you glory. We give you praise, Lord. And we pray, Lord God, that you will open up your word to us today, that we will understand you and understand ourselves a little better, oh God. So, Father, we thank you, Lord God. We give you glory. We give you praise. We give you honor for the word. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. We bless you right now, God. We glorify
you
right now, Lord God. And we trust you, Lord, with all of our heart. We don't lean to our own understanding, but in all of our ways, we acknowledge you, knowing that you will direct our pathway. We thank you, Lord, and we bless you, Lord, that you will send forth your peace, you will send forth your joy, you send forth your healing power upon us, oh God. So, Father, we thank you, Lord God, for continuing to give us an ear to hear and a heart to receive the word as it comes forth. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
The Lord has made
Thank you, Lord.
And we choose to rejoice.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank
you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Bless the Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank God for another day. Amen. To be in the midst today, and we thank God we're going to just play a little piece of a song. Amen. That we would make our hearts glad. Amen. And as we get into the Word of God, Romans 2. Amen. This computer is real slow today. Hallelujah. But we thank God for this word, amen, that we get into today. We love God.
Take a little time out to thank God for the many blessings he's given me. When I look back over my life and I see where he brought me from, I can truly say that I've been blessed. Let me tell you, woke up this morning, got out of my bed. I looked around, here's what I said. Thank you, Lord, for the blood you shed. You put a roof up over my head. Thank you, Lord, for another day. All these blessings you sent my way. You see, I could have been dead in some lonesome grave, but you told, oh, death, you told it to get back and behave.
The righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging for bread. I can count on God, he won't let me down. He always do just what he said. Pain and suffering, he brought me through. On wide open, he always welcomed you. I've been blessed in so many ways. I just want to lift my hand. God, all the praise. Ooh, another blessing. Ooh, another blessing. Ooh, another blessing. Ooh, another blessing.
I got my legs and I can walk.
Another,
I got the tongue, y'all. And I can talk, even the air that I receive. I got my lungs, and I can breathe.
When I look around, I can see all the blessings he's given to me. Bless my family, and they're doing fine.
And everybody say, ooh, wee. I can't hear y'all. Ooh, wee. Ooh, wee. Another blessing. Oh, my goodness. God is so good. Hallelujah. When you open up your eyes, you can say, ooh, wee. Another blessing. Because if he don't wake you up, ain't nothing else going to happen. Hallelujah. So we thank God for his mercy, his grace. Amen, for his love. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes shall have eternal life. Hallelujah. We thank God that we made the choice. Amen. He chose us before we even chose him. amen, that we have life and we have life abundant. And today we are in chapter 2 of Romans. Amen. Chapter 2. We have seen in chapter 1 fallout or the result of us not believing God, not trusting God, and all the wickedness that comes up when we try to take matters in our own hands. And God just say, okay, y'all have it your way. So chapter 2, let me give you just a brief outline of chapter 2 from verse 1 to 11. And we're not going to go, I'll break down just those 11 verses. Give you a brief outline. We're taking notes. In chapter 2, Paul describes God's dealing with three kinds of people. Each is charged with high treason against God. Whew. High treason is the result that you get hang or whatever, or get the guillotine, right, if you have a high treason. And so the first part of it is the moral person and God from 1 to 11. And so in this, it's talking about the moral person, okay? And so the first part of that is the plea rendered. And that's a moral person saying that I should be acquitted on grounds that I am not as bad as the pagans are. Okay? And then part B is the plea refuted. And the reason for this is God says you do the same basic things only in a more refined way. And then the result of this is to be the object of God's terrible wrath and to experience sorrow and suffering. So the first 11 verses, that's what we're going to be dealing with when we go through this. So we have some parameters on how we're going to be looking at this scripture today. And I'm telling you, these things we see, and a lot of times we just look at the ones who we call unsaved. But when we look at people who in church every time the door opens and see some of the things that people do and say they love God, it's scary. And when the Bible says judgment will first begin at the house of God, He already know he got to clean house first and get us right and get us ready, because some things that it make your hair want to grow back. I mean, when you think about what people are doing, calling themselves saved, and I ain't talking about the Big Ten, you know, fornicating, adultery, and all. I ain't talking about the Big Ten. I'm talking about stuff that they envy. Jealous, some strife, some stuff that against one another. I mean, we are one body. And so when we look at the scripture, I want us to make sure we look at it and do a dive inventory of our own selves, see where we are and how we can make sure that this stuff don't get in our spirit, get in our heart, that we were pleasing in God's sight. Because the whole object of any time we get into the Word of God is to make sure our heart stay pure. Amen? So we're going to start with verse 1 and 2. And I already gave you the outline. If y'all need this outline, let me know so I can make copies and get it to you. So you need one? Okay, we'll make copies and get it to you. Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's go, Elder Davis. Verse 1 and 2.
Therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judges does the same thing. But we are secure that the judgment of God is according the two against them which commit such things. Well, judging again. It's okay for us to judge, as long as we judge based upon the word of God.
That's right.
Jesus said when you judge, you got to judge righteous.
Right.
You got to look at yourself in the same manner. I think it's in Hebrews 13:3 says, put yourself in other people too. If you're going to pray for them, pray as if you're praying for yourself. Talk about them, talk about them as if you're praying for yourself. We as Christians, I know I've done it, we are quick when we ride down the street and we got pushing the budget. Guy on the street on the big for money, down the bridge, and we say, oh, get a job, and so I'm going to get the money because you're going to go to buy some beer or liquor or wine. That's in the early stages of your development. But as you get into the will of God, that the Holy Ghost started putting compassion in your heart, then sometimes when you stop, you give a dollar to, sometimes when you don't. That's the leading of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost will tell you, get that man there a dollar. You got $100 in your purse and your pocket, but you won't get that man $2. Then the next time you ride by, you won't. And you see people on the street who stop and give people money, and some people won't. But some people never give a dime. Like some of these millionaires and billionaires leave millions of dollars to their dog when they die. But won't give a homeless person a dollar, you know. But that has to be put into your heart. So Romans 5:5 says that it is the Holy Spirit of God that put the love of God in our heart from afar. So if we're not hooked up with the Holy Spirit, we can't expect to have that love in our heart, love of God in our heart. You can have love of all different kind of things. And not have the love of God.
That's right.
So Paul here is saying that be careful when you judge. You know, if you judge, you know, the same thing going to come back to you. I think what St. Paul just says, when you did a dick,
did two dicks. There you go.
So, you know, it's St. Paul that says in Galatians 5:1 that if a man be overtaken in a fault, he who are spiritual, restore him in the spirit of meekness. But it all goes back to the Holy Spirit, Spirit of Jesus, that he accepted Jesus Christ. So Paul's saying is like, hey, I'm saying some stuff here that's not of God, that's not coming from God. He's not talking to the wine on the street. He's talking to the church folks.
Right.
Those who are jumping up in church, shouting, passing out, and foaming at the mouth, and all that kind of stuff. But the Holy Spirit is one that gave them all this stuff. So Paul is saying, be careful when you judge.
Be careful.
You know, take a look at yourself. And a lot of us parents, we're quick to talk about other folks' children. But we overlook our kids, you know. So Paul said, hey, watch yourself. Watch yourself now. You step on your own. Like a cat, long-tailed cat in a room full of rocket cages.
There you go.
He just started out by giving a warning. Paul knew what Paul went through. And Paul was devoted. He was, he got, when the light hit him, he got the light. Blind, but the light woke him up.
Okay. All right.
Yes, in one of the readings, Paul was saying everyone, or and then another one, he said, whosoever you are. So because we know chapter one, even though he mentioned the two groups of people, it was more directed at the Gentiles. So here, he's directing it directly to the Jews, but he wasn't calling them out by name. He's just saying, whosoever you are or every one of you. So it's chapter one, I said that he focused on those that were without of the church, the Gentiles. But here, he's focusing on, like you said, the ones in the realm of the religious, the religious folk, and it says now he's making the Jews aware that they are under the same condemnation, you know. And so these self-righteous Jews, they looked upon the Gentiles, or they call them heathens. They looked upon the heathens as beyond the reach of God's mercy. And that's what was making them so pompous and self-righteous, because they, you know, thought they were above. And God is so clean and holy, his righteousness wouldn't dare touch, you know, none of them. And so because they were, we're the chosen ones. We go back. We chosen of God. We were the Hebrews, and we were the now with the Jews. That we're the chosen ones. So we know God's mercy is going to fall on us. And they deemed themselves, one of the things that's secure. They deemed themselves secure in their salvation experience or being who they were, no matter how consistency or how inconsistent they lived their lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. They just say, yeah, we chose so we can do this and that and the other and come back in and, you know, you can play double dutch and your feet are on both sides of the rope. And, you know, so they thought they were okay. And like you say, but the same way you judge other people, that God's judgment is holy. And so he can't show impartiality.
Amen.
I want to back up to something that Elder has talked about. And I'm coming from a spirit of discernment. My wife and I, we had an experience about maybe a couple weeks ago. This homeless guy was walking and, you know, always keep some money in the car just for the guilt. And so I gave him about $2-3. And my wife said, well, why did you do that? Because her spirit was telling her that he's not the one. And I said, well, I said, I'm giving it into the faith. And I said, whatever he does with it's on him.
Yeah.
And what happened was he had some, the car behind us gave him some change. And he dropped the change. You know, my wife said, why did you do that? And he cursed. And my wife said, that's what I was talking about. So we had two different spirits.
They had an expectation.
Thing about giving is that God gave his son for the whole world. And a lot of them cursed him.
Right.
But he didn't stop giving.
Right.
He yet gave his son, and the world cursed him. Even his chosen people looked him in the face and cursed him. And so as you give, you just got to give out your heart.
Right.
And that's it. You cannot be grateful for what you've done. Because it seems like, and maybe it's just me, the most people you do the most for are the ones who are going to hurt you the most. I don't know what that is about. But it seems like the more you do for certain people, the more that sound is the lift. Okay, so relax. Don't panic. Ain't no fire alarm. but that's what somehow humans, for some reason, our sinful nature has no gratitude. And the person who you did the least for, seem like those folks are so grateful for what you've done. But the one, you know, and I understand it now, that what happens is it becomes so routine of you doing that the impact of it dissipates. Because you get something every now and then, you don't appreciate that. But if you get something, if something happens every day, the impact of it, just like a brand new car. When you first get that thing, that new smell in there, boy. Everything's good. After 6 months, yeah, you see that car like it's an old one, right? Because things dissipate. And so when you give, you cannot give with anything attached to it. Just give and be done with it. God is the perfect example. He gave his son for the world, not just for certain people. He gave it for the world. Gave to give this and that. Amen.
And that's one of the things that I had to learn about loaning money. And it's the thing that the whole spirit of if you don't want to get it, you know, go ahead and give it.
Mm-hmm.
And the spirit of I'm giving it in good faith, and if I can't afford it,
don't give it.
Mm-hmm. You know, if I get it back, that's all well and fine. Particularly family members.
Particularly.
You know.
Man, I'm trying to tell you, because, man, I remember years ago, before I learned that lesson, I gave somebody something. So they're going to give it back to me. And months went by, and then they were shouting all over me.
Yeah.
And I'm bound now because I'm thinking about my $50 I gave, right? But I let them hold.
Right.
And they shouting all over me, and they mentioned that they were going to pay me next week. And now it's months since then, right? And I'm bound up.
Yeah.
Can't shout, can't feel God. And I was like, hey, wait a minute. That person is all around the church shouting. I'm the one bound, and they went over me. I've been listening. So I learned. I said, like, hell, anybody come and ask me about anything, but I ain't have it to give, that's my God. If I have it to give, I'm going to say, not alone, this is for you. Because of that, you don't have no expectation. Because if you do, that person would have a pole over your head, I mean a string around your neck, and they would be able to leave you where they want to leave you based on how they treat you. We got that's a great lesson that I learned the hard way. That instead of lending folks money, that's it. You ain't got it to give, that I ain't got it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what I was going to say, too, in the defense of Deacon Bass, why? Because of what happened afterwards, you know, we don't want to discount the prompting of Holy Spirit leading you. To give or not to give, because I was just saying in defense of that, he will let you know, because like you say, people routinely, they just did this, that, and the other. No, we can't control if they're grateful over anything, but sometimes they, you know, people need to learn a lesson too. Like you say, people that come to you all the time for money, like they're going to have you dangling, you know, from, I know who we can get it from, you know, so. And they would just, you know, count on it. And so sometimes, you know, you just got to say no. And like you said, you can't make people be grateful. But a spiritual discernment say, no, I think, you know, I cast not your pearl before swine. Mm-hmm. You know, because you'll be able to know or judge. Not that people don't need help and not that they won't need it later, because, you know, you need help yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I do, but, you know, I was so grateful when someone came to my aid to give me something. And so far, people just using you for the a bank to empty you out. And sometimes one of the things I have changed my wording and saying, because I don't want to put myself as being broke and not have anything. And I may have it. And they ask me, they don't know you could do that. But rather than to say, tell them I don't have it, because I'm telling myself I'm broke, I don't have it, I just say, well, you know, I don't hear the Lord saying to give that to you right now. Or I say, yes, I do have something, but it's earmarked for something else, which it is.
Mm-hmm.
And if I hear the Holy Spirit saying, oh, give that to him. But if I don't, I would say, well, I just don't, you know, that I don't have that to give to you right now. And so they'll have to go on. And what are they going to do? Say I'm a liar or something? They don't. My bank account, you know. Well, they want to. So, but I'm just saying, you know, if God is saying, no, time after time after time, and I know you were talking about your 50, and this one thing was set up as a loan, but try a couple of thousand. You know, after about 2 years, I got some of it back, but it didn't.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if it comes back, fine. If it doesn't, like Deacon Bass said, it doesn't. But, you know, I'm praying because I know, too, that the folk is still struggling, but nonetheless,
mm-hmm.
God told me to give back. So,
mm-hmm. Awesome.
And another thing I had to learn was, particularly with money, don't think for me. You know, if I give you something, don't think he don't need it back. he got it from one on. He don't need it back.
He don't need it.
It's my money. If I ask to
give it
burn
to
it up, it's still mine. Like, just don't think for me.
Yeah.
You know, so I had to learn that too.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
He's all in your pocket.
Wow.
He got it. He just didn't want to give it to me. He got it.
So then that's probably where some people are, for real. Mm-hmm. If they ask a certain person, just depending on who it is, like, I'm borrowing it, but they don't have any intention of giving it back because you don't need it.
The word says that owe no man but to love him. So when I loan people money,
mm-hmm.
I just say, pay me when you get it. If you don't get it, don't worry about paying it.
Mm-hmm.
But the Bible says that when you give to the poor,
mm-hmm.
you loan to God,
mm-hmm.
and He will repay you with
mm-hmm.
His.
Mm-hmm.
So I try to keep that in mind. Because there have been times when in my marriage,
mm-hmm.
we were struggling,
mm-hmm.
and didn't have parents to go to
mm-hmm.
to get money.
Mm-hmm.
And not they wouldn't give it, they just didn't have it.
Mm-hmm.
So you had to dig it up, cut something back the best
mm-hmm.
way you can. And there wasn't no mm-hmm. selling drink cans back in those days.
Mm-hmm.
But you had to come up with it the best way you can. Cut back on food,
yeah.
Cut back on this, and
mm-hmm.
Expensive food for the kids, get.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
right.
But my point is that I try to keep in mind when you loan to somebody,
mm-hmm.
I just say, well, if you pay me when you get it,
mm-hmm.
you don't get it, don't worry about paying it. Sometimes that's hard, it's hurt to say that,
mm-hmm.
but it's the right thing to do. You know,
mm-hmm.
If God requires payment
mm-hmm.
of us. But things that He do for
mm-hmm.
us, man, we were digging a deeper hole there today.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I think with the go ahead.
It is a whole segment you can go at, but I'll stop thinking about people who make promise. Oh, when I get this, I'm going. When I get my income tax,
right.
I'm going. You know, you have this old feeling good, but you ain't got it. You made all these promises. You made all the things. I'm going to do. So when we're feeling good, you can say the mouth can say a whole bunch of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
When that money starts coming in,
you ain't going to see it.
Johnny, we did that thing. You only have to do it out of pure heart. It's going to be
my father, this is what he brought me up. We had, it was 10 of us. And my mom and my dad had more time taking care of all 10 of us. We had like 2 bedrooms that we all had to, you know, make room. But my dad would come to me when I was working. He said, I hate to ask you, but can I borrow like $20 until Tuesday? Okay. When Tuesday came, my dad came to me, which I didn't want the money back. He said, no, I said borrow.
Mm-hmm.
So I need to give you back your money.
Mm-hmm.
So he came to me, and my dad said, he said, I know I told you I'd give it back to you on Tuesday, but he said, I really can't right now. So can I wait till the next day? This is the way my dad brought us up.
Mm-hmm.
So he told us that, you know, when you owe someone money, you see them coming. You don't go in the opposite direction.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You go to them
and let them know what is going on. Mm-hmm. He said, you went to them to bother them, and so go and let them know what's going on. And, you know, I really do thank my dad and my mom for that because I was able to do the same with my kids.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you were bold enough to borrow the money from me, then you need to be bold enough to come to me. Nothing wrong if you can't pay it back. But I don't care if you come to me every week and say you can't pay it back. But just don't, oh, there, sister, whatever. I know you're going to ask me about
go the other way.
And first, for our D word. D word. We said that we are children of God. But we can't pay back nothing. We are the worst, and we need to stop it. Because to me, that's like stealing. But how we gonna jump around in church and shout, and we owe somebody some money, but we dodging them?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's a good point. That's a good point. Anybody else? Okay. Praise the Lord.
Hello, I can't.
It's okay. No problem.
Amen. I just want to add to the women. I used to work before.
You can quit. Mash down for a minute.
Worked for a co-worker, and we worked in a different building.
Mm-hmm.
So she called me one day and said, hey, I need to pay something. Can you make some money? I said, sure. So she came over to me and said, I got the money. I'm going to pay you back next week. Both of us got paid a week ago. I said, fine. 2 weeks go by. I've been trying to get up to your job. So, you know, the flesh rolls up the third. I said, let me tell you something. I said, now, I work overtime. I'm still here. You getting off early than me. I said, the same way you didn't try to get up there when you asked for it, I need you to come on up here today and have them call me up in front to pick up my money. I said, now I'm going to sit by your door when you get off. When I get off, I said, I'm going to get my money. I said, I don't want to be no problem. I said, because you know me, I got a temper. I said, so when I get over there, you say the wrong thing. I said, I'm going to get my money then, son. So bring my money back up here. Because you know, you're dealing in the flesh, and I'm working, and I'm already tired that day, and I probably shouldn't have called it. But I told her, I said, you know how I am. I said, I don't do no talking when I get over there. So I'm going to need you to come on out and bring my money back. So she came up, and she was apologetic, and here's now saying, I said, no, Negro, you weren't planning on getting my money back.
Mm-hmm.
If I had told you, said what I said, she would have been like, oh, it'll be next week. You trying to get up there. How are you trying to get up there, and you got to pass my building to go out the parking lot? What you trying to do?
Mm-hmm.
But I'm type like this. If my sister here can bear witness, if I give you something, if you got to borrow $20, you tell me you're going to pay me next week. I just tell you keep, because if you had to borrow it this week, what in the hell sounds making me think you're going to give it to me next week? Just go ahead and keep it. I'm good.
Yeah, just go ahead and keep it. Yeah.
That's $20. I also did. And God has shown me grace. I go ahead. If you said, let me have money, pay it lightly. I go ahead and give you money to pay it. When you don't pay me back, so you can't come back and ask me in. Because you owe me, so they don't need to come back. You're going to burn that bridge.
Mm-hmm. A lot of times, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, we got one more.
If someone came to me asking to borrow a great amount of money, just when I had the money as well back, I'm like, they must have think I'm the bank. I said, I don't lend people money because they don't know how to pay it back. So you may want to go to the bank.
What I would, me personally, as far as borrowing and all of that, because I feel like you can be in that predicament your own self, where you really need to get some money from somebody for a particular thing for that week, and you already know you'll be able to give it back to them. But I wouldn't draw a line on that, allowing someone to borrow something from me. Did allow someone to borrow from me, I'm already have my mind made up that I may not get it. I also will really talk to them real good about I need it back on whatever day they done told me. I said, I really need it back then. If they don't give it to me, I'm going to have to release it. And I already have my mind made up before I give it to them. Because other than that, you're going to stay in bondage. I'm kind of like Ms. Weber, the way our parents brought us up. You know, it's okay to loan someone something, but you are expecting them to give it back. It's the same if you borrow it, you want to be able to give that money back to that person. So that is just keeping people accountable for what they do. So we were kind of brought up that way. And so it I think it's okay to borrow if you can't, if you have to, but not do like Digging Bass. Someone is thinking, okay, I can just get it from him because he got it. I don't have to give it back to him. So you don't want to do that. You know, you don't want someone borrowing, but you'll be able to pick it up in the spirit and know what person this is. And if you don't want to give it to him, then don't.
One last thing on
money. What'd you say?
One last thing on money. When I was at the court, I had a colleague within an abusive situation, and she needed to move. I only had a little money, but I borrowed money to help her out. And afraid about it, and because my credibility was good.
Yeah.
You know, so I knew I could get it.
Yeah. That's what you have.
Yeah. So that's it for me. For money for today.
I'm glad you said that, because how do we do when somebody offends or you take offense? How do you manage that? How do you take that offense and not hold it over their head for the rest of their life?
Yes.
How do you, and again, offense is something you got to take. You can be offended by these things on. Some folks do. If it's a Monday morning, you say good morning, they won't get offended because we're good about it. That's what they don't say. So offense is something you got to take. So when you take that offense, how do you release that person? You can release them from money, right? How do you release them from their offense? And so now, even if they apologize, it doesn't matter because you took their offense. The apology doesn't mean anything because you still got that offense. And sometimes people, because of self-righteousness, we take offense and hold it because you did wrong and you wrong. I've never done wrong, apparently, because, again, he's an inexcusable old man. You already know. And what he's saying is from verse 32, he's saying you know the judgment. You know the penalty. But you're still doing it. And so you know that you have offended people. And you want them to forget.
Yeah.
But instead of you doing the same thing, this whole thing is saying, we talked about money, but we're talking about something else, too, that people are tired of with and they bind their spirit up. Now they're in a bad funk now. God can't be free with you. You can't be free in God now. If you're holding offense on somebody, that God has already set you free for stuff you did this morning. You know, it ain't, the day ain't over yet. He already gave you, and then because he knows you're going to use up everything, guess what he did? New mercy to Romans. But we won't have that mercy for somebody. We're going to hold it over their head. So we talked about money. But what about offense? Because it's the same thing. We think we are inexcusable. We think we so righteous that somebody don't have a right to offend us. And when they apologize, it don't mean anything because they already did the deed. You hold on to the deed as opposed to them saying, I'm sorry. So we got to be careful of how we live this life, how we treat people based on these things. We talk about money. Sometimes it's easy. But when you think about somebody offended you because you took the offense, and you find out the person intended not to offend, some people do, Mm-hmm. But if sometimes some people don't intend to offend you, and you can take offense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But if that person come back and say, okay, I didn't mean to offend you, all you holding on is they already did.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's how God forgives us. And that's mm-hmm. why, and guess what he does? He put it in the sea of forgetfulness. So he'll never go back to it because he don't want to think about it. Because if it's there, it's going to remind him of what you did.
Mm-hmm.
So being God mm-hmm. said, I don't even want to be offended of your sin.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
That's some love, right?
Mm-hmm.
So when somebody offends you, can you take it and put it in the sea of forgetfulness? That when you see them again, your heart is pure to them.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Think about it now. Or you still, that Negro,
mm-hmm,
you know?
Mm-hmm.
And if you do that, your heart is pure. And you don't want to live this life with your heart not pure.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
broken.
Yeah. 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 Can I tell you that? That right there is very impactful. Just the way you said that, because we've all experienced that with money,
mm-hmm.
whether we were the giver or the one that was receiving it.
Mm-hmm.
I had a friend that borrowed money. It was almost like it was kind of eerie because the day she called, I had just got paid, got a little extra money, and it was like, man, I'm like, what is going on? Well, I need this. And I knew her situation. She wouldn't have asked if she didn't need it.
Mm-hmm.
So I gave.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing about it, you do have to have a spirit. If I'm going to give it, have that expectation that I may not get this back,
right,
and I'm going
right.
to be okay with
already.
It. And the good thing about that is that's God doing a work
mm-hmm.
in you.
Mm-hmm.
That's God taking you to the next level.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, we can hurt somebody about money.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody, you know, I'm waiting on you. Look, and not only am I going to get my money, you're going to get something too.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to really think about it. So she gave me partial money back or whatever. And so I said, okay. So I said, she must really be struggling. So, she went on a couple of trips, did something, you know, and I was like,
uh-oh.
So, you know, that kind of messed with my mind for a minute. I'm like, man, you going on a trip and you owe me money. Look, oh, it's my anniversary. It's my birthday. It's, you know, it was a lot of series of things, so I started feeling funny about that little thing or whatever. So I look at my mama and said, it's going to be all right. Relieve her from the money
mm-hmm.
and go on and forgive her. So I'm looking at her like, what's wrong with you? You know, because like, I went there. But what happened is, I did it. I was obedient to that word.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even though I was that blessed, like, oh, no, you know, this is my body or whatever. And I did it. And when I talked to her on the phone, she could not keep her composure. She was like, I am so sorry. And I knew it was some other underlining thing.
Mm-hmm.
Even though my flesh was like, you traveling, you birthday party, you doing all kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I said, your debt is paid in full.
Mm-hmm.
And the tears and the, you mm-hmm. know, I said, Lord, you released me from some things, too, because I was
yeah.
able to do that.
Yeah.
But what it did for me is when I had a need and I asked somebody
right.
and I was able to pay them back,
right.
that's the thing that you have to look at.
You,
because he did that for me, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It
yeah.
was a lesson.
Is that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Hallelujah. Her, Ms. Weber.
Y'all going to have to really, truly keep me in prayer because someone did something real bad to me. And I'm not going to sit up in this church and say that I'm going to do what you all are talking about because this can damage my character, what they did. That's what I'm looking at. But what I have been doing, I have been praying, Lord, bless me to have grace because I'm going to need that. And then the Lord touched me and telling me, well, you know, I gave you grace, but y'all just keep me in prayer that when
mm-hmm.
the truth comes out,
mm-hmm.
that I'm going to be able to show that person love and forgive that person. I can forgive them, but I'm through with them. And what I mean about I'm finished with you, hello, how you doing from a distance, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you hurt me like that, you probably will kill me the next time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's real bad what they did.
Yeah.
It's really bad.
Okay.
But just keep me in prayer.
And
then, I have walked
that road.
Oh,
I've walked that road. God allowed me. Not even.
No. I hear people say they got short patience. Even they had none. okay? This person, church in Ellis in Florida, went behind my back, I mean, made my name mud. And the pastor took it and treated me accordingly. No matter what I did, clean the church, you pastor, you name it. Faithful and everything. I mean, when I didn't have rent money, I paid my tithe. And I did, and I love this person. I can't tell you how I did it. God did it. And even today, that person apologized to me every time they see me. And want to exalt my name. My wife told him, I introduced her to my wife when we went down to Florida. And my oldest daughter graduated from, well, retired from the Navy. But this person now is so guilty, and I released her years ago. But she is so guilty. Every time she sees me, she gets condemned. And so the thing is that the truth don't need no defense. Truth will stand on its own. And so if you've done the truth, the lie is not going to stand. Or it'll stay around for a minute, but it's not going to stand. So if you're in truth, hold on to that. No matter what, if people who know you believe the lie, it's something about them. I've been accused. I've been brought up to pastors, and they told me that so and so said people said this. So I'm saying, okay, now so you, I'm behind my back talking. And now you believe in lies, so you don't really know me. And so I can release you because you don't know me. But if you and we all get out of this field, so I give them grace. I can hold it against and say you should know better, but I'm not, because we all live in this flesh. And so I can keep myself free. I let them have it, but now I know where you stand.
Mm-hmm.
I know where you stand, and so you can if you're behind my back talking about me, you grinning in my face, you my leader. And it's you're gonna tell me that, oh yeah, I heard so and so said this. Okay. So you with that too. But you gotta give grace. And that God, I'm telling you, God will fight the battle. And when he does it, nobody can point finger at you. But if you do something, and God says, touch not my anointing. Do my prophet no harm. David saved my life. Let me tell you. When I saw David had the right to kill Saul, because he was his enemy trying to kill him. David had the right. Now, Saul was already booted. He already dismissed by God, right? He was already, God already rejected him, right? But David said, touch not my anointing. And he just wanted Saul to know, I had you. And it hurted him to cut Peter his apron off, not his body. To take his clothes, it hurt him. So he honored a rejected man and say, touch not my anointing. So you can't put your mouth on. You can't put words on people. You got to let God take care of it. And we see David didn't have to kill Saul. The enemies did, right? And so the same thing with us. We ain't got to kill Saul. Don't you worry about it. God got a day. God got a day set. When that day comes, everybody going to see. The truth is, everybody. And so if we learn to relax in God, and it ain't easy. I ain't trying to tell you that. I ain't trying to fool nobody at all. I ain't saying I'm not telling you this easy, but I'm telling you, it was a midnight I couldn't sleep, trying to figure out. No, because I'm telling you, Stephen wanted to jump out, and that boy's great.
No.
I've known some things. I've been being very nice.
I've been acting like I know nothing. I've been treating the person real nice. Real nice, but sometimes it'll come back to my memory. And I'm like, Lord, I hope I'm wrong because I don't know how I'm going to react when I find out the truth.
The thing is that your heart is in the right place. Keep it there. That's what I want to tell you.
Oh, yeah, because
this going to pop up every day.
Yeah, because when I first found out about it, the old Ollie would have been ready to probably almost want to have the curse you out for that one. Because, I mean, it's bad. It's real bad. Mm. So.
But
I am.
At all costs, no matter what. Because God, from working out, and guess what? He's doing it to the glory of God.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
And if your heart desires for God to be glorified, he's going to work it out so good that he's going to promote you in the process.
I know.
So don't faint. Don't be weary in well-being.
Amen.
Keep doing well because God got it. And there's a reason why he's doing it. And you ain't going to understand it right now until it unfolds. When he unfolds it, because I know now how to treat you, leader or layman. I know how to deal with you. But I was a fool to ask. But God is faithful. He is faithful to all of us. And so when Saul is saying that knowing the judgment of God, he said, because you know the judgment of God, he said, careful. You got no excuse. Because you know the judgment, now you got no excuse. And don't think that you're better than anybody else. Because the people who you're trying to point finger at, you ain't no better than them. And they always tell me that when you point one finger, four of them are pointing back at you, right? And so the thing is that we don't want to get, we don't want to get stuff right. Think that we got it all together. Because we don't. Everybody got flaws. You got something you need. All of us got something we need to work on. If not, we'd be in glory, right? So we have something we need to work on. And so we say, but we are sure that the judgment of God is according to the truth against them which commit the things. The judgment of God, not our judgment. We try to put judgment on people. But the judgment of God according to truth. Like I say, truth don't stand no matter what. Truth don't need no defense. A lie, you've always got to cover it. You got to remember the last lie. That's what I say, man, that's too much work. It's too much work to be lying.
Yeah.
You got to remember what I told him the last time.
Yeah.
In my mind, my memory ain't that sharp no more. So, I said, you just tell him the truth. You know?
Elder Heath has a comment.
Oh, go ahead. Go ahead.
No, I'm just zeroing in on what everyone said in the consensus that you were mentioning pure heart, and I was just saying, yeah, and ours is never completely 100%. So these things, I heard Deacon Bass say, it takes over a period of time. Some things you just can't instantaneously, and you were talking about the spirit. It's because of truth.
Mm-hmm.
Unforgiveness. And I was saying, you know, I forgive. And I do. And I say, God, make my forgiveness telling this person of all what they did, you know, and throwing their name on the highway, hanging on 285 billboards, that I forgive. But every time you see them, because they come, like, but you can't, something kind of wild up in you. And so that's what I keep saying. So please let my, I'm doing so I won't take the offense, and I go home, take the offense away from me, let my forgiveness be true, I repent, this, that, and so I could know, but it didn't just happen. It, you know, even if God has to remove the person, but it, you know, it's a process.
It is.
So the spirit of offense won't settle in, but the true forgiveness has to happen, so you won't feel that thing every time you see them. And that's why I constantly pray for pastors,
preachers,
yeah.
Ministers over churches
yeah.
and bishops because
yeah.
people that have done them wrong and hung their name
Lord.
On the highway
mm.
and then leave and tear up stuff and got nerve to come back and sit right in front of them
mm-hmm.
in the congregation
mm-hmm.
and expect that they just be accepted like, that's horrible.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know,
yeah.
if they don't press towards that true
mm-hmm.
Forgiveness and not to receive the spirit of offense. I pray for them because
yeah.
it's not just one. We may be dealing
yeah.
with just one person.
Yeah.
And they
a
may look out there
folks.
And see 7, 8, 9, 10
yes.
that have done this too. And yet they their hearts have to be pure and forgiven enough to bring you the unadulterated
right.
word.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you
mm-hmm.
out there can be healed no matter what. You know, the enemy is trying to throw on
mm-hmm.
them in their face.
Mm-hmm.
So, I, you know, as
mm-hmm.
we pray for each other, I just pray for leadership that
yes.
has to go through this kind of stuff.
Yes, yes,
yes.
So true. Definitely. Mm-hmm.
Okay. I've been through the enemy ministry and out of ministry. What you don't want to do is get tangled up in it. What I mean by catching up in your sin, sometimes people have to go discombobulated, you pay more attention to the situation than them and to God and yourself. And I say that because when you bring their name up to flinch, you're not even knowing that this stuff going on. Somebody don't know you said, you know, every time I talk about flinch, you have this friction on your face.
Yeah.
And you look like, huh? It's friction on your face.
Yeah.
So then what I do is get that word and read it. And what I realize that brings on a relief. I'm not going to tell you it's going to happen overnight because it's not. But I will tell you this. If my dad told me one time, hey, no, don't be mad about being accused. Just don't be found guilty. He said, ain't nothing wrong with being accused. Just don't be found guilty. And what I've learned in all my going through is that doing just like he did, just keep on working for God. Because I've had people in the ministry when I left, they put my name out there. I'm like him. It was mud.
Mm-hmm.
I had people disliking me because of what somebody else said.
Yeah,
but then when they came over there and saw the work that I was doing and heard me preach, they were like, that Negro done lied. That Negro done lied. Ain't no way she got that missing on it. But I never, I'm like him, I never defended myself. They had attitudes me. I didn't even know these people. I didn't know them. I just heard what was said. And I said, they would say, they would come to me and say, you know, such and such, you know what I tell them? Just pray for them. It's going to be okay.
Yeah.
You going to let them say that about you?
Yeah.
I said, God ain't going to let them say that about me. I said, it's going to be okay.
Mm-hmm.
And when it was all over and said, well, Abraham was the one getting talked about.
Mm-hmm.
Because my thing was, I kept focusing on what God has me to do. These things
mm-hmm.
are distracting.
Mm-hmm.
They're distracting. And what you don't want to do is get caught in the middle because it's easy for us to do. We lose focus and we say, oh, I'm not doing it because I thought I wasn't doing it. And I said, you know what, God, I need you to start with me first. Let me work on me and
mm-hmm.
give me the understanding and the forgiveness, all the stuff that you talk about,
yeah.
and start reading these scriptures. After
mm-hmm.
a while, it'll be a calmness and a peace of God going to let you know, I'm fighting the battle. I don't need your help.
Mm-hmm.
This battle ain't yours. All you got to do is do what he said. Keep coming to Bible study, keep doing the stuff of God,
mm-hmm.
and watch God turn around and fight that thing, and they're going to backfire on the people that set the fire.
All right.
I just sit back and watch. I'm like, wow.
Oh, okay. Amen.
Mm-hmm. Don't worry about what people do. Because God got you.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. I tell you what, it's hot and hot
everywhere. Well, I tell you, after one again, well, I tell you. Oh, Lord, I tell you. Hey, man, I tell you, this is awesome, awesome. Romans, this is awesome. And, you know, our emotions is real. There's no need in us trying to act like emotions are not real. Our emotions are real. And so when we, like Ms. Weber is saying, she's confessing what she's going through, but God is going to meet her in that place. He's going to bring her to a place of peace in that. And I was hearing you saying, I'm not sure about something. So you don't even have clearness concerning that either. So the thing is, I don't know if you need to get clarity, but even if you don't, God is going to bring clarity. even if you don't go searching after it. But a lot of times when you are dealing with things, you need clarity. Because when people, you think somebody did something, when it all boils down and you really get clarity concerning it, you can have compassion for that individual because of what they may have been going through, the reason why something may have happened or the reason why something was said or whatever. So we really do have to get clarity concerning the situation. But next week, we'll pick up right here, and maybe we, Pastor Butterfield, we need to have all of us to do some type of little lesson on the fact of having an offense and how we would deal with those offenses. Everybody will have it a different. It'll be a different way, even though it all be godly, and we can all hear it, but we can all learn from it. It'll come from the word. Elder Heath was saying it got to come from the word, but bring it forth so that we can talk about it, because it is really, really wide open in the church as we are talking about right now. God knew that. That's why he started in the household of faith. First, get it clean out. And so there's no need in us trying to say, well, I don't have this, I don't have that, and this is not going on with me. We all got something going on with us that we need working on. Why are we teaching? Why are we sitting here? Because there's something in us that need to be fixed. That's why. You know, it could have been anybody up here teaching. It could have been anyone sitting out here. It could have been anyone on the line listening. But because we are listening, then the word is for us. It is for us. All right? So let's next week. I'm excited. Praise God for the teacher man here. And praise God for all of you that continue to sign in online and for all of you that come in face-to-face. We really appreciate you coming out to the house of God. It is no doubt that God is with you and that God is leading you to come out to Bible study.
Look on my template. Stop agonizing. Start strategizing.
All right. I strategize. Stop. Oh, my God.
Stop agonizing.
Mm-hmm. Strategizing. Mm-hmm.
Strategy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Very good. Amen. I think we can give on that. We can give an offering. We can give your tithes. You can go on and plant a seed on that word, because God is good, and he's looking for us to hear this word and not only hear but be a doer of the word. Amen. And so we want you to give your tithes and your offerings. Let's not forget about giving the money for the land across the street. We need to continue to be giving that money, because it is all due by December something, our anniversary, so that we can get it paid off. So whatever your commitment was on your envelope or however way you're giving it, you want to put church anniversary, so that money will go towards, finance people will put it towards the church anniversary. All right, but those of you that's giving your tithes and you're giving an offering here today, we want you to go on and do that at this point. And those of you that are online, we want you to go into the app and give, the Light of World app, and then you can email that to me, text it to me at 770-906-0607. That is 770-906-0607. And I will get it, and it will go toward noonday Bible study. All right? We're ready to give. We can give at this point. Mm-hmm.
Allocated ourselves to give.
For the land?
Yeah, kind of lost account, but somebody could balance.
We could get them to get you a balance. Okay. 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 We'll do that. Okay. We'll do that to see what your amount should, where you need to be. Okay. Okay. Okay.
Yeah. All right. We'll do that. I'll get back with you on that. All right. I do have to check with the committee folks so that I can let them know that is a question. And so if they can show us something, I'll deal with people individually to get that done. All right. All right. Very good. Let me close that.
We thank God for everything. Pray God that our hearts have been inspired and encouraged to keep pressing on this way, because we all need God's help. Amen. We all need His mercy and His grace. And so we need to be able to, whatever we give, whatever we receive, we got to give. And we receive His mercy, so we got to give mercy. Amen. So let us be dismissed. Father God, we thank you for this day. Thank you for your mercy and your grace. Thank you, God, that help us, oh God, shield us, oh God, protect us, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Comfort our heart, God, that we would not allow anything that's not like you to stick in our heart. God, give us protection, oh God. Give us detour signs on our gateway. Oh God, gateways to our heart, Lord God, put a sign up. That no entry for anything that's not like you, God. Please keep our mind pure, keep our heart pure, God, and we will live holy and please you in your name, your glory. You will get the glory out of everything we do. Whatever we go through, God, you get the glory out of it. Yes, and bless our leaders, oh God. Bless Bible study tonight. Let your word go powerful again like before, God. Let deliverance and freedom take place, oh God, in the name of Jesus. God, we ask you for healing to take place also, God. In the name of Jesus, God, we thank you for Deacon Bass, oh God, for his life. Continue, God, to heal his body, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, God, that he'll be a testament, oh God, that you are a miracle-working God. All of us, oh God, that we have needs that sometimes we don't even utter. But, God, prove yourself strong in the name of Jesus. Do something great, oh God, that the devil would know that you're still in control. We thank you, we bless you, and we praise you. God, we ask you to dismiss us from this place, but never from your presence. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody say, amen. On this week. Yeah, you put it up here. See everybody on next week. I guess we'll be in verse 3.